Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello, everybody. It is Sunday in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. My name is Adam Bittner, assistant sports editor for Multimedia for the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, joined by Chris Carter, our Pitt Beat reporter and host of the North Shore Drive podcast. Emergency podcast time. The Steelers have made the playoffs. Chris, the Jacksonville Jaguars lose to the Tennessee Titans. They missed the playoffs, and the Steelers and Buffalo Bills clinch. We're recording this right after the game, so we don't know yet who the Steelers are playing, but we know that they're in. Chris, what are your just rapid-fire thoughts before we get into it here?
I think that they have earned their way to the dance, you know, as far as playing. This was a team that could have given up at 7-7, could have packed it in. They had a lot of young guys on the team that didn't know what it was like to fight through moments like this, and they fought through, they earned it. And sure, it took the Titans' help in the end, but, you know, the Jaguars were a team that that beat the Steelers early in the season, but they fizzled out. The Steelers finished strong. And, you know, it's not about how you start, it's how you finish. And I think that the Steelers deserve credit for that. It'd be one thing if they had lost on yesterday against the Ravens, and then they got in because the Jaguars lost and the Broncos won, because then that would have been different. But this is a team that is trending in the right direction. They also got good news from J.J. Watt that T.J. Watt's MCL sprain is just a grade 2, not a grade 3. So now there's a chance that he could come back, and most likely not next week, but maybe in 2 weeks. And that's better than being out for 6 weeks, which was the prognosis initially. But in all seriousness, this is a team that's earned their way to the dance. And I really do believe with the way they're playing on offense, they should scare people, because I think that they could, with the way that the teams that are in the AFC, there's no team that's dominant. The only dominant team I see right now is the Ravens, and they know how to play the Ravens.
Yeah, we're going to dig into all of those topics you just brought up here in a second. Just want to thank our primary sponsor for this episode and all episodes of our Steelers postgame show. This is kind of an extended edition of that. Pella Windows and Doors of Pittsburgh. There's no better place to get new windows and doors installed in your home than Pella, who can help you save on energy costs year-round. Schedule a free in-home consultation with your local Pella Windows and Doors to find the right product for your home and budget. Give them a call at 866-593-1560 to discuss your project further. That's 866-593-1560 to get started planning on your new windows and doors installation with Pella Windows and Doors of Pittsburgh. First of all, Chris, was it the disrespect of the towel that got the Steelers here? The Jaguars came into Pittsburgh back in October. They disrespected the towel. It didn't look like it would matter, but here they are. The Jaguars are out. The Steelers are in. They disrespected the towel. Are they the latest victims of the terrible towel curse?
Listen, the curse has had some serious powers over the years. Everyone remembers in 2008 when the Titans looked unstoppable. They beat the Steelers. They brought out the towels and they were stomping on them. And then they lost 13 games straight from the rest of that year going into the next season. And it took an official letter sent by the Titans organization to the Myron Cope Foundation to please lift the curse. And the next game, they literally won. That is some crazy lore. That is very real. It happened. Not that it actually matters. But I think part of it is what we talked about going into this game after the Steelers won yesterday. You know, the Titans are a team that they want to beat the Jaguars. Mike Vrabel was not trying to go out like a sucker. He was not trying to just end the year on a loss and no hope and no glory. The Titans, you could see they wanted it. They were blocking well. They were fighting. There were several plays. Terrell Edmonds. Got an interception in this game. The former Steeler turned Titan and came up with a big play in this game. And this is also a Jaguars team that was fading. Like, you know, I said this, you know, a few weeks ago, I was like, man, the way the Jaguars are playing in the last stretch of this season, I'm not so sure they're in a position to finish strong. I mean, in fact, the Jaguars, they lost 5 of their last 6 games. They finished the season 1-5 with losses to the Bengals, Browns. It's funny, the AFC North helped the Steelers. The Bengals, Browns, and Ravens all beat the Jaguars to get them to this point. They would then lose to the Buccaneers. They beat the Panthers, but then they lost to the Titans. That's a Jaguars team that did not deserve to be in the playoffs, and the Steelers showed that they did.
Yeah, and now, Chris, they're in. And we talked about this a little bit on the post-game show when it was more of a, you know, speculative thing. But the Steelers are in now. They're going to play somebody. What are the scenarios that are still on the board with the Jaguars out of the picture? And how would you rank them in terms of desirability? We talked last night about the Dolphins, Chiefs, and Bills. Talk me through what has to happen now. And then if you're the Steelers, what would you probably most want to see on the other side next week?
So there are two scenarios now. They cannot go to Miami. That is off the table now because the Dolphins would have had to win and the Jaguars win. The only two scenarios are if the Dolphins win, the Steelers will go to Kansas City as the 6th seed and play the Chiefs in the first round. If the Bills win, the Bills become the 2 seed. The Steelers are the 7th seed, and they'd go to Buffalo to play them. Personally, I think the Chiefs are a better matchup right now simply because – they don't got the weapons Buffalo does. Like, you still got Stephon Diggs, Gabe Davis, and Buffalo's very up and down. They've been extremely mercurial all year long. They'd be really high or really low. But if you catch them on a really high day, that's a tough out. Like, you're going to have to play some great football to keep up with that team. You could catch them on a mid or bad day, and you can beat them. But right now, the Chiefs, I haven't seen them put up the kind of performance that we've seen the Chiefs do in the last 5 years with Patrick Mahomes. And partially it's because they don't got that offense anymore. There's no Tyreek Hill. There's no superstar. You know, Travis Kelce's older, and teams have now realized there's no primary receiving threat other than him. There's no real secondary receiving threat. Rashee Rice is their next best receiver, and he wouldn't be a top two receiver on the Steelers. So I look at that, and I'd say if I'm the Steelers, I want to play the Chiefs. Send yourself to Kansas City. There's some players on this team like Najee Harris, like Minkah Fitzpatrick, guys that play the Chiefs and lost there embarrassingly 2 years ago when the Chiefs were doing like ring around the rosy, you know, before a touchdown call that they did and stuff like that. I think there's a part of there's some of the guys on the team that are like, you know what? We know what it's like to go there in the playoffs. Let's go and play that team. But I'm sure the Steelers are saying we don't care who we're playing right now because they're probably thinking like at one point everyone left them dead and buried. Now you're in the dance. It doesn't matter who you play. Personally, I think the better matchup is the Kansas City Chiefs right now.
Yeah, and you don't factor in the recent history at all because you think back to, 2021 when Ben Roethlisberger in his final season goes into Buffalo, gets that win against that team that, you know, I think had a lot of similar weapons then, maybe not exactly the same guys, but they had some good players. They had Josh Allen. They were, you know, favored to be one of the Super Bowl favorites in the AFC. The Steelers go in there and win. And then you also have the Chiefs who I think, the last 3-4 times the Steelers have seen them, it's been a blowout. It hasn't been close. You just think they're fundamentally different teams now that changes the calculus for you?
They are. They are fundamentally different teams. This is also a Steelers. This Steelers team is different than they were a month ago. Like forget 2 years ago, 3 years ago, however long ago you want to look back. This Steelers team right now is something we have not seen from them since not old version of Ben Roethlisberger. And that's them moving the ball consistently, them running the ball, them getting competent quarterback play. All those things are in line for them right now. And this is also a defense that's found ways to win with big players missing all season long. You know, I know TJ Watt's most likely going to miss this game, but this is a team that all year long, they've had two games where Cam Hayward, Minkah Fitzpatrick, and TJ Watt played from start to finish healthy. Just two times. If you had told me that was the case at the beginning of the year, I'd have said there's no way they made the playoffs because that's your three kings of the defense, the defensive line, the linebackers, the secondary. And they found ways to win without those guys being healthy together as a group. And that's partially because of guys like Joey Porter Jr., who's played phenomenally. I think going into this week, he had the fewest receptions allowed of any cornerback in the NFL that had at least been targeted 50 times. I don't know if that stat holds up after week 18, but either way, that's remarkable. And I think that says a lot for him as a cornerback. Keanu Benton had stepped up at the interior defensive line. Nick Herbig with Alex Highsmith and Marcus Golden have been – I said this before too. I think of any year that TJ Watt has been a superstar edge rusher for the Pittsburgh Steelers, this might be the best year that they've been suited to handle him not being in a game, because you have Golden and Herbig. So you have two guys behind him that you're able to at least bring in, switch around, give Highsmith a breather, and actually like have them in there to play well. So, and Micah Fitzpatrick told our guy Ray Fittipaldo, after the win over the Ravens, that he's going to play next week if they're in the playoffs. So you know you're getting him back. This is a Steelers team that I think that has a lot of reason to believe in themselves going into next week.
Let's talk a little bit about TJ Watt, the grade 2 MCL sprain. We were talking last night on the Steelers postgame show that might be more of a grade 3, but grade 2, you know, and I think our Jerry Dulac's official reporting is quote unquote a couple weeks, which, you know, at this point, you're 2 weeks out from a divisional series game. You would think he'd be in the mix to maybe play by then. Certainly not a guarantee, but at least you could have the conversation.
Right.
You think this? I'm just going to let you kind of finish that thought from last night when you said you think that they can go a week without him, and probably not make a Super Bowl run without him. You're not going to win 3 playoff games in a row to get, you know, to a Super Bowl, but can you win one, and then if you get him back, have a chance to be a threat in those last two games before the Super Bowl?
I mean, I think that they have a puncher's chance to beat the Chiefs or the Bills next week if they get TJ Watt back. And they're going to Baltimore. Those teams, we know those teams go down to the wire no matter what. No matter how good or bad every one of those teams are, they're going to make it a dogfight. So if you're telling me that this team has a chance to get into 2 close games and have a chance to come out on the other end of them with a win, that's something that they've done all year long. In fact, let me do this count real quick. 1-0, 2-0, 3-0, 4-0, 5-0, 5-1, 6-1. 7-2. They're 8-2 this year in 1-score games. So they found a way, and that includes 2 games against the Ravens. And yes, Ravens backups, whatever. But you know what? The score with the Ravens backups was the same score with the Ravens starters. And I think that this is a Steelers team. They're used to playing close games, and in fact, I think they're used to it. They're not flustered by it. Whereas if you're a Chiefs team and you're looking at the Steelers, like, who are they? Mason Rudolph. Like, I don't know. They're going to walk in and beat Patrick Mahomes, you might look at that situation and be like, you know, all of a sudden, you know, it's late in the fourth quarter and you're like, wait a minute, these guys are hanging with us, and you know, one mistake and the Steelers pounce and you can beat that team. You know, the Ravens, I don't think that they would look at the Steelers in any foul way because they've lost 7 of the last 8 times to them, but that's a team that you know that you can beat, that you can go into Baltimore and hang with. So I don't think there's the only dominant team I've seen in the AFC is the Ravens, and the Steelers have swept them this year. So again, I like their chances. If they get TJ Watt back for Ravens week, that's huge. They're probably gonna have to figure out a way to win without him this week. And that's gonna be tough. It's not gonna be easy, but I actually think it is doable with the way that they play.
Yeah, I agree, Chris. I'm not picking them, but I think it is doable.
Right.
For sure. Let's talk a little bit about the quarterback situation. I think that's the big headline still for a lot of people. I think you and I agree it's got to be Mason Rudolph, given what you've seen the last couple of weeks. But what does that do in the big picture now that it's real? It's upon us. The Steelers are picking between Mason Rudolph and Kenny Pickett in a playoff game. What does that do for them the day after, whenever the playoff run ends, if you pick Mason Rudolph over the guy that, you know, we were talking about as a potential franchise quarterback weeks ago, not, you know, even months ago?
I think it puts yourself in a position where you ask him to be an adult and be like, look, you know, a guy came in and outperformed you, and you have to handle that like a professional and take that forward and say, you know what, are you going to be better? You know, I liken it to his alma mater, where Pitt, you know, not the same sport, not the same thing, but, you know, there's a Pitt volleyball, a team that's now made 3 straight Final Fours. They have a player by the name of Valeria Vasquez Gomez. She came in, she was a freshman phenom, was one of the best freshman volleyball players in the country. They went to the Final Four, and her second year, she got benched because she wasn't playing well. And there was another player who was outplaying her. And instead of transferring, and then, you know, in college, you can transfer whenever you want. You can get NIL money. You can do all sorts of stuff. Instead of doing all that, she stuck it out of picks. She fought through it. She earned her spot back. And then she's led them to 2 more Final Fours. But I look at Kenny Pickett and I say, you know what, if you believe you're the guy, you'll fight through it. You know, whoever's next to you, say, hey, I'm going to be here. I'm going to be the best version of myself. And that's going to be good enough to earn a chance to make play, to be a starter again. And when I'm a starter, I'm going to make plays. You have to have that confidence in yourself. And if he doesn't, that means he's not the guy. And then you look for it somewhere else if you're the Steelers. But right now, you know, I think your focus needs to be winning this game. Next year, if I'm Mason, here's the other part of this. If Mason Rudolph, let's say he beats the Chiefs or the Bills next week, and you know, and who knows what happens after that. But let's say even he just wins one playoff game. I thoroughly believe some NFL team's going to come calling with $10 million, something like that, and be like, "Hey, Mason, here you go, buddy. We want a guy that knows how to win in the playoffs or whatever." And I'm not so sure the Steelers could match that with their current cap situation, because this is a team right now that needs to build the offensive line. They need another offensive tackle. They need a center. They need another corner. They probably need to get another linebacker based off of, you know, if they can't keep everybody there because, you know, a lot of those guys got hurt. They probably need another safety. Probably need another defensive lineman. There's a lot of needs on this team. And, you know, signing a backup quarterback to a long-term deal, that'd be tough. And if there's another team that comes in with a major offer, maybe they want to make him a temporary starter. If I'm Mason Rudolph, you take that opportunity. I get a chance to prove somewhere that I'm the man, I'd take it. But who knows? You know, he tried to hit free agency this past year. It wasn't just the Steelers that overlooked him. No team in the NFL wanted him. Like that was, you know, so like I think people that say, "What if the Steelers didn't know what they had in him?" You know what? Nobody did. And I mean, anybody in the NFL knew that Mason Rudolph could play like he did in the last three games this season. So, that being said, I think that they're in. I think that right now the bottom line is just keep playing. You know, Mason's go. You ride the Mason train as long as it can take you. And I don't even think that you pull him from a game unless he's terrible. I mean, like throws like two really bad interceptions, terrible, and is looking completely lost in the sauce. And it's funny because some fans thought that might have been the case. In this last game. Against the Ravens when they weren't scoring, but through that game, he only threw two incomplete passes. And one of them was a drop pick, but Tomlin stuck with him, and Tomlin showed him the same loyalty that he's shown to Kenny Pickett, that he's shown to Mitch Trubisky, and to any quarterback that he's named a starter. So I think he'll get that chance to prove that he either is or is not the guy. And then, you know, if he makes plays in the playoffs, let's see what teams come calling with big money.
Chris, we're going to wrap things up here with the big question I have for you still is, now that they've made the playoffs, it's no longer an if, it's a certainty. How does that change the tenor of this season? You and I talked about last night about how, you know, you lose to the Patriots, you lose to the Cardinals. If they miss the playoffs, that's going to be on Mike Tomlin, and that's going to be something we talk about, you know, for about his future for, you know, however long he's in Pittsburgh, or in, at least the next couple of years. That doesn't end up mattering. They make the playoffs. They get their shot. Against, you know, either team we agree that they can beat. And I think the fact that the Bills could be the 2 or the 7 still proves that the difference between these teams are very close. And so, you know, the Steelers got there. They did what they had to do. How does that change the tenor of the season for you? That they did it. They went 10-7. They got there. And regardless of what happens from here, you know, I think they cleared the first goal.
I mean, they show that this is a team, this is still an organization that believes in itself. They show that it's an organization that can rally. And this is, again, this is a great coaching effort by Mike Tomlin to finish the season. Not all season, because you know they had a rough stretch. But this was a team that, you know, a lot of people said, even before the season, you know, I host other podcasts and things, and I did a round table with all the AFC North teams. And there were people that said, Steelers are finishing last. No chance that they even sniff the playoffs. This is their first losing season. They're going to fall off, and no one's going to care. And they didn't do that. And I think that, they even with all the things they went through, and as everyone talks about injuries, the Steelers dealt with their fair share of injuries. They're winning games with Mason Rudolph. They're winning games with their six. Patrick Peterson is playing safety. Miles Killebrew is playing safety. Like, you know, come on. Michael Walker, you didn't even know who Michael Walker was before this season, is playing linebacker. So they have every reason to feel good about themselves. The organization has every reason to feel confident that this locker room and this nucleus that they've built and are still building is heading in the right direction. And I think that this should give every bit of reinforcement into Omar Khan to say, "Hey, we got something here. Let's keep adding." And you know, adding could mean a lot of different things. It could mean going and making sure the offensive line is going to be elite next year. It could be going and getting, you know, another corner to pair with Joey Porter Jr. Maybe it means keeping Patrick Peterson to be the safety next to Minkah Fitzpatrick. It might mean, you know, going and getting a different quarterback, because you think that maybe if you get the right rookie quarterback, you can, you know, live off that for the next 5 years and then build elsewhere. But either way, it's absolutely a positive. It is a big note for Mike Tomlin. And I think it's a big egg in the face of everyone who said that he's done, he's finished. You know, he's toast. He can't he's lost the locker room. Clearly he didn't. Clearly he never did. You know, certainly there was times where things were down, but you know, someone brought this point up the other day that George Pickens, a guy who was very frustrated, right, Adam? You know, we all noted it. Someone brought up, he's never been on a losing team in his life. Like from Little League to high school to college, Georgia, you know, they never lost it. They never had bad years in Georgia with him there. So when the Steelers were struggling, that was his first time ever dealing with that. And so Tomlin is the first coach that's had to get in his grill about that. And what have we seen since then? 300 yards and, you know, in combined over two games, blocking at the goal line where people said that he wouldn't do that anymore for a touchdown run by the same guy who he didn't block for the first time. And then in his last game, not even a single target. And you don't see moping. You don't see complaining. You don't see none of that. And you see Mason Rudolph calling him his brother in the locker room and them embracing each other. I think it is a testament that Mike Tomlin is much better of a coach than many people in this town give him credit for.
Yeah, I think he deserved the heat when you're at 7-7. Sure. And you've lost those three games. But you know, the other side of that is that you deserve the credit when you get here, you do these things and you're giving yourself a chance. I mean, listen, I don't want to say this is like the 2005 season. I don't think it's really anywhere close in terms of the Steelers personnel or anything like that, but they went into those playoffs as the sixth seed. They won three games to get to the Super Bowl. The goal is to get here. You never know what can happen. And I think that was the important thing in terms of the tone of the season is you give yourself a chance to see what you can do in the games that really matter. And they've done that. And as long as that's the case, I think you've got to give Mike Tomlin and the whole organization credit despite the criticism. Chris, we're going to leave it there, though. I want to leave some meat on the bone for you tomorrow. You're going to be back on the North Shore Drive on Monday. So if you're just joining us for the first time after the Steelers clinched the playoffs, make sure you subscribe to our channel. If you enjoyed this video, please like it. Help us out in the YouTube algorithm. We always appreciate that. Like I said, Chris will be back Monday, Wednesday, Friday, and I think depending upon what schedule we get, we don't know when the Steelers are going to play yet.
That too.
But you might be back on Saturday previewing the game with an opposing beat writer with the AccraSure Fan Advantage. So make sure you're subscribed. I'll be back on Thursday with Paul Zeiss. So lots more Steelers talk coming your way. Look forward to breaking down a playoff week in Pittsburgh. Thanks, Chris.
Thank you for checking out this content from Post-Gazette Sports. If you watch this video on YouTube, please like the video and subscribe to our channel. For all of the sports coverage the Post-Gazette has to offer, visit post-gazette.com.